On the line, I have Tony Gagan, outgoing CEO of Merchants Quay Ireland. Good afternoon, Tony. How are you?
I'm grand. Thank you very much.
I'm sure a lot of the mixed emotions after all these years.
It is a bit strange, all right. We don't realise you're getting older. It kind of creeps up in you, you know.
Time, as I keep saying, the older you get, the quicker the time seems to go.
Absolutely. That's a definite truism, you know. It is very mixed emotions for me, obviously, because the issue is still so pressing. But notwithstanding that, there are new people coming through, you know, who will keep up the work as well. And I will continue to support the work here, and I'm involved in a couple of other, you know, projects around the city as well. So I will continue my involvement, you know, advocating in that regard.
I know it's hard, but I ask a lot of people the question that maybe started off, especially in homelessness many years ago and any sort of drug addiction, like when they started, and I ask you the same question. Could you think you could foresee the way things would turn out in Ireland in 2018 from, say, 20, 30 years ago?
Absolutely not. Like, I do reflect on that, I have to say. When I look back, you know, I started working in the drugs area back in the early 80s. And, it was a very small encapsulated scene. Now it was. It certainly spiraled out of control, but I don't think anybody saw it at the level that it's at now. But having said that, I know when I look across the rest of the world in terms of drugs, I think the fact that we are a more global society now, and that borders aren't what they are, where, and the technology and the internet and all of that has contributed hugely to the whole spread of addiction as well. Now, the homelessness is another scenario, of course, which,
you know. Oh, sorry, you got it. Just lost you for a sec there, Tony. Go on.
So I've never seen it escalating to the level that it's at. Having said that, we do have better services and there are more people involved now, but we still have a long way to go. But no, I am shocked by it, but not in a defeatist way, more in a way of, look, we have to be pragmatic. You know, as I said, when you look across Europe and the rest of the world, we're not the only country that are struggling with a drug problem. It is just seems to be part of society. The drugs might change, but the issue there that underpins it remains the same.
Yeah, because you've said there, the world, we're a global village now, and the problems seem to be the same all over the world now. It's homelessness, drugs, economics in general seems to be a worldwide phenomenon now.
Well, obviously, on the economic front, you know, that whole kind of push to the more neoliberal type view that you let the market determine things and that, you know, boats will find their level and all that doesn't really work out because there aren't sufficient safety nets in that scenario in place for people. And of course, we do understand that the world isn't a meritocracy. You know, that, you know, while on the one hand we're all born equal in that when we all come into the world, we're all babies. But some are more equal than others and some sections have much more opportunities and, you know, roads open to them than other people do. And there's no coincidence that, you know, problems like drug problems and housing and homelessness are concentrated in, you know, with people from less advantaged backgrounds. That's not coincidence.
Do you think this, because of the situation with homelessness over the past 10 years, I remember 2006 very, very clearly because I was doing an interview. And I remember at the time the government was talking about homelessness being eradicated within the year. I mean, when you think back on it now, what a statement to make. But is it a catch-22 for people where if you're homeless, it sort of gets you towards the drugs, or if you become addicted on drugs, that gears you towards homelessness? Is that type of situation happening?
It is, yeah. Now, that's one of the biggest changes I've seen in the scenario would be that the interface between and the enmeshment of drugs and homelessness. We know a lot of people become homeless because of their drug misuse, you know, that they get into difficulties either in the family home or even in the local area where they're living, you know, through antisocial behaviour or dealing and things like that, and that contributes to them becoming homeless. But equally, I know many people who have become homeless for economic reasons and are on the street and start using drugs more chaotically or start using alcohol more problematically than what they were before. identify their situation that they're in, you know, the mechanism mm-hmm. for coping. It's very hard to live on the streets, you know, the amount of trauma that is out there for people on the streets. And we've always said, if somebody is on the streets for 3 months or more, you're going to accrue mental health problems, you're probably going to accrue addiction problems, because who wouldn't get depressed if you didn't know where you were going to be sleeping from mm-hmm. night to night, if you didn't know if your possessions were safe, you know, if you couldn't guarantee your own safety, you know, things that most of us take for granted. Stuff like that has to impact hugely negatively on your mental health. Mm-hmm. And of course, people turn to drugs and alcohol as a means of coping with that.
And the government, have they been quite supportive over the years? Have they gotten any better with support and funding over the years as the situation has worsened?
No, the funding has never been restored. Like, the funding went up. Like, I remember a time when it was very hard to get funding for drug services. But when the strategy came on back in the late 90s and into the early 2000s, there seemed to be political will there. But once the kind of crash came in 07 or, you know, 06, 07, from then on, it's been one direction. And that funding has never been restored fully. We've seen that recently with, all of the unions were arguing about the Section 39 agencies that, you know, their pay restoration has never happened. Those cuts have never been reinstated. Staff working in organisations like ourselves haven't had an increment since 2007, you know. Wow. So despite the fact that their counterparts in the, you know, in the HSE and in the departments had their increments restored. So there is inequity there for sure.
And can I ask you, Tony, for instance, two debates going on at the moment, sort of centres where people can take their drugs, and also there's a debate now on methadone, whether that's sort of feeding into a drug addict's habit, especially someone that's been on it for years and years. How do you feel about both of those subjects?
Well, on the methadone one, I do believe there isn't enough being done there. I think with a cynical hat on, I would say that people are being parked on methadone because it's an easier option. Now, having said that, I've always been an advocate for methadone because I think it is healthier and better for the person themselves to be on methadone rather than on street drugs, because there's no, you know, with street drugs, you don't know, a person doesn't know what they're taking really and what they're putting into their body. But having said that, the whole rationale for methadone was to provide a platform for people to take them out of that vicious cycle of looking for drugs, looking for the money for drugs, taking drugs, looking for, you know, just spinning around in that vicious circle, and to give them the opportunity where they don't have to go and look for drugs because they're on a substitution treatment, and to start to put things in place in the other areas of their life that are going to support them to move beyond drugs. Mm-hmm. And that's where the deficit lies. We have over 10,000 people on methadone now, over half of them on it for 10 years and more. And that wasn't the vision. I think the vision was that we would move people from street drugs and then support them to build up the personal resources, you know, the skills and vocational training to sustain themselves for independent living and to move beyond that. Mm-hmm. And I just feel enough resources haven't been put into that end of it, into supporting recovery. On the safer injecting facility, I'm fully in favour of it, because I think it's not, you know, people read it wrongly in that they think, oh, that's not going to solve the drug problem. It's not meant to solve the drug problem. It's just targeting a particular aspect of it, the whole area of those people that are living on the streets and are injecting on the streets and have nowhere else to go. And it is a mechanism to protect them and try and pull them in and into specialist services and provide pathways for them. But it is also, I believe, a win for local communities, because it's going to take that injecting in mm-hmm. off the street, where, you know, school children and local community people aren't going to have to come upon the distressing sight of, you know, people injecting publicly or stepping over discarded injecting equipment, etc. So if it's implemented properly, I feel it will be a win-win situation, and it is then just part of the range of services that we need if we want to provide pathways out of drugs for people.
Okay, and a lot of people as well, Tony, including a minister or two, have sort of proposed maybe legalising drugs as in some other countries. How do you feel about that? Do you think that would help towards the situation in any way? I mean, they're using the methadone, the same we're doing anyway with methadone.
Yeah. No, I think, I think it would be a difficult system to manage, that the regulation of it would have to be very well thought out. If we look at even how alcohol is regulated in this country, most people aren't happy with it, you know. So I think in terms of, I do agree fully with decriminalising personal drug use, because criminalising people, you know, the criminal justice system isn't the way to deal with what is essentially a health and social problem, you know. And it, in fact, only makes the problem worse, because we'd have people coming through treatment, and then if they have convictions, it's very difficult for them to get employment. They're not able to travel, you know, issues around insurance, all of that. So I don't think criminalising is helpful, but in terms of the regulation and how it would be managed, it won't be a cheap option, because if you look at that Portuguese model or the other countries, they talk about setting up decision committees so that if somebody is stopped on the street with drugs, instead of being referred to a court, they're being referred to these committees. And if the committee then assesses the level of their problem and proposes an intervention, and if the person doesn't accept that intervention, they can end up in the courts again, you know, if they refuse to cooperate as it goes on. And of course, we're not talking about decriminalising drug dealing or, you know, importation or all those sort of things as well. It's more about, rather than clogging up our system with, you know, personal use, which may and may not be hugely problematic.
Yeah, the problem here is, though, when something is suggested, it takes so long to get around to it that it's nearly obsolete by the time that it comes around, the technology.
I understand what you're saying. And now, having said that, look, well, the injecting room thing, it was in the programme for government, but it will take time to come through, I know, because of planning issues, and, you know, it'll go to Ombudsman and could even end up in court, so... it's like the way that the Apple data center down in the West, they were planning it for years, and in the end, Apple gave up because the whole thing
takes too long. You know? Yeah. You sort of wear out or die. You're ground down or you die. Listen, Tony, it's been a great pleasure having you on. And I sort of get the feeling that even though you're retired physically from the job, I think mentally you're going to be still involved and watching situations as they go on. And as you said, you've plenty of other things that you're going to be doing. Can you tell us any of them?
Well, yeah, I have been appointed onto the Irish Human Rights and Equality Commission, so I've just taken up that role. So certainly, I will be engaging there, and I am particularly will be promoting the areas of inequality, or trying to address inequality issues in access to housing and in access to treatment, drug treatment and alcohol treatment. I think so. I hope I can continue to contribute at that forum. And I'm also involved then in a couple of smaller drug projects where I do some voluntary work as well, and I'll continue to do that.
Okay, thank you very much for talking to us, Tony. And I mean, I'm sure you're going to be successful no matter what you do, and get things moving along the way. Thank you very much, Tony.
No, thank you very much. All the best.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And that's Tony Gagan, outgoing CEO of Merchants Care Ireland. What a busy man, and great work he has done over the time.